Mr. Watts, you are coming to Hamburg with Fischer Z. We are so grateful to have you here in Hamburg once again at the 30th of April in the Leisthalle. And I'd actually like to dive directly into your latest album, Triptych, because, of course, there's this great and beautiful track, The Hamburg Beat, on it. And you're coming to Hamburg. So, obviously, I want to talk to you about this one.
Yeah.
It's so great. For us, people from Hamburg, myself and our listeners, we have a nostalgic view upon Hamburg. But what is it like as a British? What is the view from someone who comes to Hamburg? What is it that makes you fall in love with Hamburg, perhaps, and that makes you want to do a song about it? And also that beautiful music video. What is it?
Well, I've always, Fischer Z, for a start, I mean, one of the first places we ever came to in the very beginning was the Markthalle, was the first German gig in Hamburg. I think we did one in Berlin and we did one in Hamburg. So there's the association. But I've always been close to Hamburg. More recently, I spend quite a lot of time in Hamburg myself. The reasoning, I mean, it's an easy one with the song. I fell in love with a woman in Hamburg.
Ah, okay, nice, yeah. I really loved also that music video, as I just mentioned. It's kept in black and white and you're walking through all these places, and actually it's ending at the Binnenalster, which is just like 200 meters from where I'm standing right now.
I know Hamburg very well. I know I come to Hamburg quite a lot, and I stay in the Portuguese Quarter near Landesbrücken, so I know it very well.
Ah, okay. So do you have like a favorite pub in Hamburg as well, where you say, I have to get a beer there, or a cafe somewhere?
I'm a food person. As you see in the video, the Paris Café, I like very much, because it's a place where writers have been for years and years, like Hemingway and all these sort of people. And so I'm a food and red wine person. So that's actually in the video, and that's actually has got a very romantic association with it for me.
Oh yeah, okay. I can feel into that. That's nice to hear. And there's also this little line which I stumbled across in the lyrics of the song. And there was a Basque singing woman, and there was also a Basque singing woman in the music video. So I was wondering, were the lyrics or the music video first, and what was she actually singing? The girl in the music video that.
Interesting, and the reason that I wrote that is all those different things that happen down by the river, behind, again, in that area, just off the Portuguese centre near Landbrücken. And there was a busker, and he was actually singing the John Lennon song, Woman. And it was very strange, because he sung Woman, he sung that brilliantly well. Then he sung some other songs that were horrible, but it was just a fantastic version of that. And the other things that, you know, the people down there that you get down on by the river where they stand and they painted gold and they stand like statues. People that know Hamburg, for locals that know Hamburg, do you recognize some of the things there, yes?
Yeah.
The images in that area. I know that area very well.
Okay. I mean, that's really great to hear. I mean, that's also, I mean, you know, you just mentioned John Lennon, which is, I grew up, of course, as everybody else, with the Beatles, also with you starting off in the Markthalle, which is really an iconic place for all those rock concerts. And then, of course, you have those little beats in the song, which are repeatedly saying the beat goes on, the beat has gone, the beat is gone. Is that also a reference to the Beatles then, when you're saying you actually heard a busker here singing John Lennon?
Yeah, song? Obviously, for people, I mean, Hamburg for English bands is iconic in that sense.
And of course, now over the years, you went to the Markthalle, but now it's getting a little bit bigger. Over the years, it became bigger. Last year, you played in the Fabrik, which has a great industrial touch to it, which is a great place to play a live music concert. But now you're going for something completely different. You're going into this music hall, Leisthalle, which is known for classical music. I just went there to listen to Carmina Burana and Beethoven with this beautiful architecture, the white walls, the golden ornaments. What brings you there? Why the Leisthalle? I mean, it's a great idea, but how did that come about?
Well, what's happened is that I've played a lot of standing concerts in different places, and the idea that, let's see, I mean, we played, I like the Fabrik, we played it a lot, but it's a certain audience and it's a certain way. I have two careers now. One is with the band, playing the band shows. The other is I do a lot of theatres and stuff myself, where I do a big variety of material and I talk more and there's more politics, yes? So I'm used to doing theatres. And I think that I'd never get the pronunciation right. It's Leiterhalle. Is it Leiterhalle?
Yeah, it's also difficult for us Germans because it's written so weirdly. It's actually Leishalle. So
Leishalle.
Leishalle. Halle, hall, Leishalle. Sharp S, then they're new.
What we've got is we've got different promoters, but also the idea for me, there's a different communication. What I like very, very much in the theatre is that it's a life that's probably about, I don't know, it's 1,200 people, something like that. So I can still see everybody. I very much enjoy the theatre. I like the theatre, the presentation and the interaction with the audience in those sort of places.
Yeah,
it's classy, isn't it? That's a very classy place. When I said we were playing the Leishalle, my friends in Hamburg went, ooh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean by that. Actually, although I have to say my first reaction was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm curious what's coming there, because just it's not an obvious pick. Although we had just another rock band from Cologne, which did the same thing and just, embraced it and did like a different show. It's different than one of your others.
Yeah, which band was it? Which band was it?
It was, they have this hit, Verdammt lang her. It's a Bab. Yeah. I don't know whether you know what it's.
Oh, no, Bab.
Yeah, you know, yes. Bab. Okay. Yeah, yes. They did like, they had just like a jubilee of their very first album. They played the whole first album and then another album, just straight through it. So not mixing up other albums from their career, just this one and then another one and just.
Oh, well, it's very interesting things going on at the moment, because this year I've got a new project out as well. The last Fisher Z album straight was Triptych with a Hamburg B and that sort of stuff. At the moment, I've got a Fisher Z project, which is called Punk, as in the German Punk, and exclamation. And that is a mixture of music and art and film. So we do it. So that runs with the solo stuff. Yes, that runs with Fisher Z solo. And so I do these two things. But the thing that's interesting, next year is the 50th anniversary of Fisher Z. We did the first Fisher Z gigs in 1976. So next year will be very interesting, because there'll be all sorts of things in association. And we are looking at doing different types of, shows to do with that. But as you know, or you probably know, I've made 28 records.
Yeah.
There's quite a few songs. But the idea of playing, first of all, in Hamburg, that I love, and secondly, a place like the Leiterhalle is very exciting and different for me.
I don't know whether you want to spoil our audiences, but I'd be curious for sure, like the listeners as well. Do you plan on doing something very different? For example, just like compare the concert last year in the Fabrik and now Leiterhalle, do you plan on doing a whole different set list, or what can people expect from it? I mean, they're curious.
It won't be a different set list, but it'll be done in a different way. That's what the idea of reimagining things. For instance, if you've got a big song for us, I don't know what. I mean, you've got a song like Marlies, for instance. Mm-hmm. That's very, very high. So I don't think it that high. Because if you try and do that, I have to love the songs to do them. Some, there's certain songs we'll always play a number of the classic songs that people really like. But we play them in a way that is most appealing and that you can generally believe. Obviously, it'll be a different sort of show because it's in a theatre. It'll be a different sort of show by its nature, won't it? Because people are sitting.
Yeah, they're sitting and they're just like in another mood. Yeah, and I think that can be energising. So I'm...
Oh, I love it. It's also got an interval in the middle.
It
stops in the middle. When did Bap do that? Did they do one album, then have a break and do the other, or did they go straight through?
Oh, I actually don't know. And a colleague of mine went there and he just was euphoric about the concert. I'm not sure whether they did a break. It sounded to me as just they were just there 3.5 hours without a break, actually.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know how they made that. And they did it 2 days in a row, actually.
Yeah.
So
that's why people need to be sitting down.
Yeah, when it's that long, then really you just can't make it otherwise.
The theater idea is very different. I mean, it's like a different. Also, one thing I'm interested in doing maybe next year or the year after with the band. I've always wanted, with guests, I'd like to play for the 50th, somewhere like the Stadtpark. I'd like to play that.
Oh, yeah, the Stadtpark Open. That's such a great venue.
Like Stadtpark, because I've got friends I'd like to bring with me. So I think we'll start to talk about the possibility of doing that. Because for me, what's very exciting for me is to have a situation whereby I'm doing the band shows. The band shows, there's more of the 80s material in it. And then with the solo shows, obviously, I mean, I've got a choice of very, very different songs. And the audience, it's very interesting, there's a difference in split. For the solo shows, the audience tends to be a bit younger, and there's a higher proportion of women.
Ah, okay. That's a nice observation. Yeah.
I mean, what's ridiculous now, the thing is that the idea that, I know, it's all 50 years on, I'm still doing the same thing as I was doing before. I'm just singing it a little bit lower. I can still sing the high things, but I don't want to be in a position where you look like you're trying too hard. And so, you know, you arrange the music so that people hear the ones they love. The joke is, some of the songs are done a little bit lower, and it actually makes it easier for the audience to sing it.
Ah, yeah, they like that. Yeah, of course they like it. Yeah, that's a nice touch to it as well. Yeah, of course. And then it's just like this entertaining moment, of course, especially with the big crowds. That will be great for the Stadtpark Open Air as well, I think.
I think it'd be fun. I like playing outdoors a lot. Some people like to play. I mean, many artists, big artists, will tell you, we love playing a little dark rock club and it's fun. I don't like that so much. I like it when you can get a vibe and I can see more people and interact with more people in that sense. The small club, you can really only get to the people at the front.
Yeah, and like that, you can really see, even at the balcony, you can really see the faces of the people in the Lighthalle, probably.
Sure. Sure. And also in a theatre, you don't even have to use the PA. So this is a theatre. I can come and talk. And it's designed for that. Do you see what I mean? It's designed to speak and you can walk and there's variation. And I like that. I very much like that interaction with the audience. And I have quite a lot of that.
Yeah, that's a really nice point that you're saying, that you like to talk to the people without the PA, because we also had, of course, you know, the Elbphilharmonie, and we had people coming to the Elbphilharmonie who didn't use this sound architecture which is optimized for sound at all. So I love that you want to take advantage of that, of course, when you have that location.
It's great because it just gives you the idea of many people. If you see rock shows, the singer and the guitar player, for instance, they'll stand behind their microphone for the whole of the show. That's what they do, and I don't do that. If you like that, you get a stiff neck. The idea of wandering around and being able to get different angles or see people in different places and be able to get close to people on the right than the left, and the thing is that what I like about bigger shows is this. The art of performing for me is very simple. If you're playing a big show, then you've got to make everybody feel that you're performing just for them. You make it intimate. And if you've got a little show, you've got to make people feel it's big and important. Do you know what I mean? I actually like that very much. And as you know, with many of my songs, there's a certain political element, which I also put over, but I'll put the politics over in a humorous way.
That's something very special, actually, about you when you're saying it like that, because I think most artists do it the same no matter where they are, small club or stadium tour.
Oh, no. Oh, no, that's different. The other thing that's interesting, for instance, you know that the song of mine, which is Berlin. Now, with the song Berlin, people thought that was about the wall. That was never about the wall. The song about Berlin is a tribute to the cabaret performers in Germany in the 30s. It's a tribute to them. Who were very, very brave people that were standing up against the right-wing politics. That's what Berlin was about, those sore red eyes. It's about those people. The came here is that knew of no wall. It's not about the Berlin Wall. It's about entertainers, musicians, comedians standing up against right-wing situation, which again is happening again now.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, I just had to think about the musical, a movie and musical Cabaret really is great about the 20s and 30s in Germany. Which brings me back, I have to ask, because you just mentioned it a few minutes ago, that what you're planning to do next year or by the end of this year, this combination of music elements, video, and
this year we're playing some band shows like the one in the Leithsaler. We're doing several German shows. We're doing some festivals as well. But mainly this year, I'm doing more solo shows, and I'm because the project, the Punkt project, I'm doing that this year. So on things like in those situations, the presentations of that, some of those things will be presented in galleries because I've got paintings. So there'll be paintings. I'll do the performance in a gallery, and there'll be a 27-minute film as well, which we're working on at the moment, which is a kind of, I don't know if you're into film, the idea of the black and white documentary thing, like the Pennybacker films, like the Dylan films.
Yeah, that's a great crossover opportunity.
Yeah, it's an art model. So this week, in fact, I'm releasing two tracks on vinyl from the Punkt project. There's only 70 copies, no more, numbered. There's only 70 7-inch vinyls. They'll never be made again. And then 2 months later, I'm releasing two pictures. And then 2 months later, I'm releasing two vinyls. These 7-inch vinyls are artifacts. There's only 70 of them.
Wow. And now there's obviously the question for our listeners and myself. How are the Rock Antenne Hamburg listeners able to get one of these? Do they just need to be fast, or how can they get them?
Well, no, they'll have to get them from shows. They will only be able to get them at shows. Because, again, you see, they're gone. Once they're gone, they're gone. They're artifacts. They'd be more expensive than normal things because that's what they are. So in the same way, there'll be one album, there'll be one vinyl album, which comes out in the summer. And that has got extra tracks on it. It's completely made by me. The cover will be painted. The thing will be done. So that, it's like, I'm doing it like a picture. Do you know what I mean? Like an art picture. There's one of those. Then there'll be 7 special ones, and there'll be a limited number of vinyl only. There won't be CDs. There's just vinyls. And then at the same time, this week, at the end of this week, the two tracks that are on the 7-inch single, it's not a single, it's the 7-inch artifact, they'll be on digital. They'll be released digitally so people can hear them digitally. But the idea, I want to emphasize the value of music.
That's such a great statement. Yeah, I mean, I love that vinyl is having such a great comeback. Mr. Watts, we talked a lot about, of course, we talked about your music and your shows and stuff like that. But of course, when you first started, like everybody else, John Lennon used to be an Elvis fan. I'm curious, in your life, can you say that you have like a rock song of your life where you're saying, this one just like defined or influenced me in such a great way that that's really the most important rock song for my personal life? Do you have something like that?
Well, I mean, for me, it would be the person rather than the specific song. I mean, I always liked artists. So my heroes were Andy Warhol and people like that. So therefore, I'm the Velvet Underground. So for me, the kind of artists that I liked were the people that were different. The early Bowie, probably, let me think. If I had to pick one track, I'd say Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side. I mean, also for me, very early on, I was a drummer from when I was 16. And so therefore I was interested in reggae and all sorts of bits and pieces. And I gradually moved through it. But I was influenced by, when I talked to you about Berlin and the cabaret and music hall in Germany in the 30s, I had relatives who were in the music hall in England before the war in the 30s. So therefore, there's the entertainer. And when I was 15, all my friends went to rock shows, and I did. But I used to go and see performers, jazz performers, people like George Melly, real characters, people that were very different. And when all my friends were playing Pink Floyd records, I liked things by Captain Beefheart. I liked Trout Mask Replica, which you couldn't listen to, but it sounded so different. I was always influenced by things that were different. My career has been quite strange because if you look at the things, there's a thread running through. But I've done a hip hop record. I've done all sorts of things, and we cross over with art. And I think that reflects my influences.
Yeah, that's a great answer because, of course, it can never be one song, one artist. It's such a bunch of different things, and I love that there are so many different styles of music that influence.
And that's very illustrated. If people check it out this week. It'll come on to the digital tub. It's Two Sides of Punk'd, it's called, and that will be digitally available this weekend. If people check that, one song is originally a song that was, it originally had 2,000 words, but I brought it down to 600 words. That's like a long poem, And the other thing is a complete wacky pop single, When Love Goes Wrong.
So check it out. See what you think. It's coming out this week. It's coming out this weekend. So for me, it's a very exciting time. I've got the multi, you know, a project which involves art and film going on at one stage, and also all the classic Fisher's Head band song. Really looking forward to coming with the band and playing in Hamburg, especially, and the Leithalle.
And also, Yverick, will you be able to come to the show?
I'd like to come, yeah, as we are presenting it.
We should open with Beethoven, by the sounds of it, for you.